Good afternoon and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock here today. And I just want to thank Pastor Lutz for promoting our program here today. That was nice of him to do that. And we're glad to have you with us here as well. And as Pastor Lutz said, if you were listening to his program before, and if you don't listen to his program, I encourage you to do so. He's got a great program that comes on at 1 o'clock and then leads into our program, and then Pastor Andy Rusnacko comes on at 2 o'clock, and he has another great program as well. Be a blessing to you. Well, we have in the studio today with us special guest, Brother Nader Barati, a missionary to Ethiopia. And I'll get him going here in just a minute, but just a couple housekeeping things real quick here. Just a reminder, you can find us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can go to Facebook, facebook.com/livewithpastoral. That's facebook.com/livewithpastoral. And you can also follow us there. And we're currently doing a live Facebook live broadcast there as well. So let me encourage you to check that out. And both of those will provide links to our home church, the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, where I'm the pastor. We'll have more information about that at the end of the program. And let me invite you to visit us there. All right. Well, as I said, we have a special guest in the studio with us today, and Brother Nader Barati is with us today. And Brother Barati, welcome to the program today.
Thank you, Pastor. This is a wonderful opportunity to be with you this morning.
That's great. And let's see, you've been working in Ethiopia for how many years now?
We're now finished our first term. We've been there for 3 years, going on our fourth year, and we're going to be going back at the end of this year to start our second term.
All right. And whereabouts in the country are you?
Our primary ministry is in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, the capital city. Mm-hmm. But we have ministries throughout the country.
Now, most of our listeners probably have heard the term Ethiopia in the Bible, you know, and it's a term there. And obviously the Ethiopia of the Bible is a little bit different, a little bigger than the Ethiopia that we have on the maps today. How would you describe where Ethiopia is?
Well, Ethiopia is located on the eastern side of Africa. We are right in what we call the Horn of Africa. So when we think about the Horn of Africa, we think about the countries like Somalia, South Sudan, Kenya, Tanzania, Egypt, pretty much all the countries that are located on the Horn of Africa. And our country has about 104 million people in our country.
And you have 104 million, I think you said?
Yes, sir.
And the people there, how are they receptive towards the gospel?
Well, since we've been there, we've been able to share the gospel through different means in our ministry, through showing the Jesus Film ministry, which has been a tremendous success, or by our soccer outreach that we do every Saturday, and through our just door-to-door evangelism that we do Monday, Wednesday, and Friday there. But for the receptiveness, the Lord is just using us. This is a country that's had its traditional religion of Orthodox since the 16th century, really. But through that, of course, people have just been passed down the tradition of religion. They don't know about Jesus. They don't know about who that is that died on the cross on their necklace that they wear. So we're sharing them the news of Jesus and the death and resurrection of that cross, what that cross means.
Then you're saying that people are Orthodox and all. Mm-hmm. I know that there's also, I remember when, I think it was back in the 70s, it was after the Yom Kippur War, or somewhere in that time frame, there was a large group of Ethiopian Jews that were airlifted into Israel. And is there still a significant Jewish population in Ethiopia?
Yes, there is. Mm-hmm. Mostly they're up in the northern parts of the country.
Now, I know you've probably heard the same too, and having been there, that that Solomon had an influence on Queen of Sheba, who was, some people believe, from Ethiopia. What do they say there about that?
Yeah, they do believe that Queen Candace was an Ethiopian. So they also believe that through some events that transpired, that the Ark of the Covenant came to a rest in Ethiopia. And they have a building up in the northern part of the country where you can go visit a big building that's carved into a mountain where they say the Ark of the Covenant is today.
And of course, you know, there's people who say that it's under the Temple Mount. Then there's some people who say that God took it up into heaven and all kinds of things. But wherever it's at, I know God knows where it's at. And when they rebuild the temple in Jerusalem, I'm confident that God will provide it, whether it's from Ethiopia under the Ark of under the Temple Mount, or whether, as I've heard some people try to say, that it'll just kind of, God will float it down from heaven itself and put it there. But whatever the case is, it really is. It's an ancient country. A lot of, and I use the term Christian kind of like with the air quotes, you know, like you said, the Orthodox not really knowing what it means, but not just the Christian, but the Jewish tradition that takes it back a long time. And unfortunately today, there's also an Islamic influence in Ethiopia, isn't there?
Yes, there is. If I can divide the main religions of the country, it would be predominantly Orthodox and predominantly Islamic as well. Mm-hmm. Islam is on a rise in our country.
Now, how does that affect you as a missionary?
With us being located where we're located, we have a lot of the terrorist groups that are located next to us in countries like Somalia. We think of Al-Shabaab. And we also have, what in our country that's unique from all the other African countries, we still have tribal problems in our country. And those tribal problems, when they start out, it's a good recruiting tool that the Islamic extremists use to recruit people into their terrorist groups.
Now, as far as the people there in Ethiopia and being caught between the two, is there any danger?
There's always the element that whenever you go out and preach the gospel, you're going to have a problem with sharing the gospel. I just want to share this quick story if I can.
Yes.
About back in March, we had we were on our way to our weekly outreach program with soccer, and we were told just a week before, three jihadists had went into a church where a pastor was going to share the gospel with them and lead them to Christ. And they told the pastor, "We want to accept Christ as our personal savior." This pastor had no idea that these men were on a jihad mission. During the time of invitation and prayer, the pastor had gotten up and said, "Well, let us pray together." So they all got up. There's three jihadist Muslims in this room with the pastor. And as they began to pray, these men who had an intention before they went to this pastor had killed him in his office.
Hmm. So the danger is always there. And, you know, you think about it, danger's always been there. I mean, oftentimes I think today, especially here in the United States of America, you know, we really do live in a unique time in the sense that most of us don't have any real danger when we go to our churches on Sunday, or we, as a pastor or something, you know, go to meet with somebody. There's really not a whole lot of danger here in America that you're going to be persecuted, killed, tortured, all these sorts of things. I mean, it does, you do the odd cases where something happens, that tragic shooting last year down in Texas, for instance, and where they shot up the church. But what I'm getting at is throughout most of the history of Christianity, it's been one of danger. You know, Paul himself writes about being in danger, and he was arrested, he was beaten, he was whipped, he was stoned, he was ran out of town, he was persecuted. We think of persecution as somebody says, "Oh, you're one of those Jesus people. Oh, I've just been persecuted. I just can't take it." You know, not too many people I know have been severely beaten or threatened with death for their faith. And So it's always been there, and yet Christianity has grown and in many cases thrived in the face of persecution. How does Christianity, and let me change this from the air quote Christianity, where anybody that just, well, I believe that Jesus existed Christian, to truly born again, how does that seem to be doing in Ethiopia? Is it making headway?
We actually are experiencing revival right now in our country. We have for the last 2 years been praying that through persecution that we have seen with the tribal problems and the change of government and some of the other events, like, for instance, you know, we were under a state of emergency for, you know, two times this year under martial law in our country. But through that, God has bringing revival, and he's starting with the church. He's setting the church on fire. And through that, our evangelism is, you know, we're seeing people saved every week, and we're just very blessed for that.
Now, does the government put any roadblocks in your way, or do you have pretty much freedom?
Well, of course, we are limited on our freedom of religion over there. If you don't fit into the main population of the Orthodox, then you always have roadblocks and red tape that you have to go through. But since our church there, Yamasraj Baptist Church, has been there for many years, we are grandfathered in, so we don't have as much problem right now. But with the new churches coming into the country, the government sets restrictions and requirements for you to become recognized as a church in their country.
And of course, through it all, the gospel seems to go forward. Like you said, revival happening. That's exciting to hear. You're listening to Live with Pastor Al. I'm joined in the studio today with missionary Nader Barati. He has been working in Ethiopia for the last 3 years or so. And Brother Barati, where are you from originally? Give people perspective into how you got from where you're from to where you're working.
Well, I was actually born and raised here in Ohio, in Worcester, Ohio. Lived in Ashland up until I went off to college there. But, of course, many of you probably have heard my testimony and how the Lord changed my life and saved me back in 2011. And he called me to the ministry. And then after a while, the Lord just began to work on my heart. And we had a wonderful guest speaker come to our church back in November of 2011 that the Lord just said, I want you to be completely surrendered to my will. I want you to be a missionary. And I began to ask the Lord, where would you let me to be a missionary? And I said, Lord, I'll be a missionary to Hawaii because people in Hawaii don't have a missionary.
I'll visit you there. I've been through Hawaii a couple times. Yes. It's a nice place.
But the Lord just said, that's not what I had in mind. And I said, well, Lord, put me on a cruise ship and send me around the world so I can proclaim the gospel. And he said, that's not what I had in mind either. But he said, I'm going to send you to the heart on the battlefield where you can share the light to the people who are living in darkness in Ethiopia.
Wow. And now, how did your family and friends react to that?
A lot of our family was supportive on our side here, but a lot of them were skeptics, and they wanted to stop God from using me for his glory. But God just used a simple man like me. I'm not anything special, as you know, but I've just had a surrendered heart and a willing heart to serve God wherever he would call me, and still am today. And we just pray that one day that God will open the doors back into our country of Iran, and that we can get back in there and sow the seed of the gospel.
And for those who are listening who didn't know that, your father is from Iran, right?
My father is, and I'm a dual citizen of America and Iranian citizen. And I lived in Iran, many of you probably heard in our testimony, for several years growing up as a teenager.
Mm-hmm. So you also understand a little bit of the Islamic background and culture as a result of that, so you can see that when you're working in Ethiopia. If people wanted to find out more about you and your ministry, do you have a website or someplace they can visit?
We do. We have actually just gave an updated version of our website. You can find information on www.outreacheastafrica.com.
Outreacheastafrica.com. And then they can find out some more information there and keep tabs on you and pray for you.
Yep. And we also on that have a archive page where you can find information on how Christianity should witness to the Muslim populations in the 21st century. I've written many articles on that. You can find those. Those are all free for you to download and use in your witness to Muslims.
Oh, very good. Very good. And again, that website is?
www.outreacheastafrica.com.
All right. And I was actually wanting to look at something too, because some of our listeners, of course, are familiar with what we call the faith missions concept. But for a lot of our listeners, they don't understand how somebody such as yourself and your wife are sent to the field, supported on the field. And what I'm meaning here is that, for instance, you as an independent Baptist missionary, it's different than if you were, say, a Southern Baptist missionary. Southern Baptists, of course, have their cooperative board, and through that they fund a missions program, and they almost hire people, you know, as missionaries, and then say, well, you're going to go here, you're going to go there, this is where we believe you should go. And that's a lot more similar to probably some people perhaps in some evangelical type churches and Protestant churches are familiar with, as opposed to the faith ministry or faith missionary concept. And so I guess leading into that, did somebody hire you or ask you to be a missionary, or how does that work?
Jesus hired me for his service, and he called me to go wherever he would send me. He didn't choose me because I'm able. He chose me because I'm available.
Yeah, and that's just like there in Acts chapter 13, where when God opened up the mission field with Paul in his first missionary journey, he did not go to the first evangelical church, or I mean missions center. Mm-hmm. He went to a local church,
yes,
in Antioch, and he found people in that church that were faithfully serving him. And you know, I've heard people say, well, if God calls me to a specific ministry, I'll start serving him when I get there. Well, if you're not serving him where you're at now, probably won't when you get there. Mm-hmm. And so he looked in there in Acts chapter 13. He found people that in a church that were serving, and there was Paul and Barnabas, and he selected those two men, impressed it on their heart. In fact, I'm talking about that, I should go ahead and turn over there, because it really is, I think, the clue to understanding the difference between the faith missions, mm-hmm, concept versus the sort of the more denominational setup that you see, because it'd help if I go to Acts instead of Romans, wouldn't it? I was talking here and flipping. I just saw 13, and I went to that. Let me get over here, Acts chapter 13. And this is the key thing here. It says, verse 1, now they were in the church that was at Antioch. Certain prophets and teachers, this Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Of course, Saul is the Apostle Paul there. So these are people who were working. It says, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I've called them. And when you look at that there in verse 2, the Lord is speaking to the church, isn't he? Saying, mm-hmm, and when I say church, I'm not talking about the nebulous, universal, worldwide church of or whatever. I'm talking about a local body of believers. This is a local church in Antioch. Mm-hmm. And God spoke to them and said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them, which also tells me Paul and Barnabas heard God speaking to them,
yes,
saying, I've got a ministry for you. So he spoke to Paul and Barnabas, then he confirmed it in the local church, mm-hmm, that I'm calling them into a ministry. Does that reflect what you were saying?
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. That's the same way the Lord is working today. He's calling people out to go to a ministry which he has prepared before them.
Right. So the Lord called you, and then, of course, your local church is what?
Calvary Baptist Church in Ashland, Ohio.
And who's the pastor there?
Pastor Harry Strachan.
Pastor Harry Strachan. And, mm-hmm, of course, that name is familiar to some of our listeners. His father was on staff over at Cleveland Baptist Church in their Heritage Bible Institute. I believe for a while he was, mm-hmm, the director, dean, president, leader, overseer, or whatever, in chief man in charge, mm-hmm, of the Bible Institute there at Heritage Baptist Bible Institute there in Cleveland Baptist Church. So a number of people are familiar with him. And I believe he also was up in Canada for a while as a missionary himself. So
yes.
Pastor
mm-hmm.
Strachan, there, your pastor, mm-hmm. actually grew up on the mission field in Canada, didn't he?
Yes, sir.
So what an exciting thing. So you felt God was calling you mm-hmm. to this ministry and as a missionary in Ethiopia. And, so God, I'm taking it, confirmed that with the people and your pastor at the church there.
Yeah, he did. And when I took a survey trip back in 2013, I was a single male missionary going over there, just seeing what God was going to do before me. And stepping into a third world country, you know, growing up in Iran, of course, it wasn't a big surprise to me what I saw, because that was some of the same things I experienced, you know, as a teenager in Iran. But the Lord just truly blessed, and once I got to the field, he knew the scope of the ministry. He knew that I was limited on what I can fulfill, and we had been praying for God to bring me a helpmeet, and he did. He brought me my wife to Gist. She is Ethiopian. Her name literally means, when you translate to Gist to English, patience. Mm-hmm. So the Lord really brought me two blessings in one.
So you had to learn patience in order to find a wife.
Absolutely.
Very good. But so here's what we find then. And just looking here at Acts 13 again, the church, the Lord confirmed to the church that he had called, you know, Paul and Barnabas, just like he confirmed to the Ashland Baptist Temple that he had called you, mm-hmm. and of course now your wife as well. Then it says that when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. In other words, they say, get out of here, right? No, they sent you. So your church commissioned you, basically.
Yes.
Came together as a church and said, we believe God is working in your life and wants you to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And so they sent you away, meaning into this ministry role.
Right.
So what did you do then?
Well, it was an extended ministry of all the churches that support us, including our supporting church and sending church there at Calvary Baptist. So once they laid hands upon me and they sent me, then I followed the Lord's leading back to Ethiopia, where he put me into the ministry which he called me to.
Right. And of course, in the between times, you mm-hmm. visited a number of other independent Baptist churches, because mm-hmm. in our independent Baptist circles, for people who aren't familiar with this, you know, you say, well, how do you get there? Who pays you? Well, you go to various churches, and then God lays it upon the heart of those individual churches to pray for you and to help you out in your ministry. And through that, through the combined efforts of a series of churches that you have personally visited,
yes,
and that you send letters to keep tabs on what you're doing,
mm-hmm.
those churches pray for you and help you so that you can financially be supported, so that you can go to the field. And that's an amazing thing for some people, because in some churches, they really never see missionaries.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when my wife and I were missionaries we went to the Samoan Islands and started a church there, which by God's grace is still going, mm-hmm. and even was able to help start another church as a result out of that church. But the times calling churches and contacting churches, I remember I contacted a church that I thought was an independent Baptist church, and it turned out that it was it was an American Baptist church, and theologically we had a lot of differences.
Yes.
And but I just remember the pastor, who happened to be a woman, I didn't know that until I called, and she goes, wow, a missionary. I've never talked to a missionary before.
Oh, wow.
And so for a lot of people, they don't know what missionaries are, mm-hmm. but that's one of the great things with the kind of the faith missions process, is that other churches get to see and meet missionaries and to be able to take part in their ministry, be able to pray for them. And as a result, people who are saved in Ethiopia, the churches mm-hmm. that are praying for you and supporting you, that's fruit to their account.
Absolutely.
And I hear the music there, so I know we're coming down to the last minute or so of the program. Not a whole lot of time left. Give us your website again real quick.
Yes, that's www.outreacheastafrica.com.
And I want to thank you, Brother Barati, for being with us. Again, you've been listening to Live with Pastor Al with Missionary Nader Barati, missionary to Ethiopia, and your wife, Tigist. Yes. I got that right, I hope.
Yes.
And working there, and I hope we'll be able to get you on the program again before you head back. Mm-hmm. We're out of time today. I want to thank you. Thank you for listening. God bless. Have a great week. End.
You've just listened to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to visit him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 11 to midnight and again next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2 right here on AM 1220 The Word. Live with Pastor Al has been brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.